Would you open your Bibles with me again to Ephesians chapter 5? We're going to plug along here. This is getting to the portion of this particular passage which is most befuddling to me because I am wrestling with what direction to go. The more I have studied this, I was trying to think how to describe it, and I think I'm at this place like the center of a spider web where every degree of a 360 degree circle you could go down a strand and find meaning in all of them. Obviously, that's not very practical for what we do here on Sunday, so we have to seek the Lord about what the Lord would have us say and what focus we should have. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're talking about the roles that we play, husbands, wives, parents, fathers, children, servants or employees and employers or masters, as we have read this over the past weeks. I think I'll hold off on reading it at this particular point. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about the order of all things and quoted Chesterton about the disorder of orderly things. It was a quote that basically, as he walked up to a place, one of his characters walked up to a place, he noted that it looked like the disorder of what had one time been an orderly place. Please note that in creation, biblically, when we look at Genesis, we see that first there was nothing, then there was disorder, then there was order, and then sin brought more or brought disorder out of the order. Last week we talked about the pressure of this world. We talked about the world and the baggage that we carry and how there's two aspects of that. Individually and as members of the larger group or group set with which we belong, men or women, wherever we are demographically in those larger subsets, but also individually, because we come from families and have backgrounds and have a personal history that maybe the person next to us doesn't even know. People can experience the same experience and come away from that experience thinking and feeling and being different because of their interaction. I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, I was just looking for the exact quote here. I said, what if I told you that the beginning and the end of the overthrowing of God's authority, of destroying the foundations of godly life, are here in these rules? And the more I have studied it, the more I have come to the conclusion that that is exactly correct. I don't know if as we look at the world around about us, and I'll talk more about this in a minute, as we look at the world around about us, if those things are moving in a stream and certain events are happening along with other events, or if this event or this focus that we're going to talk about today is one of the events that's bringing those things about. So I can't tell if they're going along side by side or if there's a cause and effect thing going on. Now, we're going to address some of that this week and perhaps next week. Again, I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate prayers every Sunday when people mention the message and the message giver. I have pages of notes back here, and I was sorting through trying to put what was pertinent in here and to try to have some sort of flow. If you go to the Lakeview Community Church .com and click on the resources tab, you'll see a whole list of sermons annually. Lakeview Hamilton. Is that what it is? Yeah, lakeviewhamilton.com. Thank you. And when you get to the resources tab and click on sermons, up on the upper left, you'll see a title that says Marriage Dynamics. And it's actually in high definition and low definition, high quality and low quality. I forget what it's up there. So if you don't care how it sounds, you can pick the easy one, depending upon what your device will do. That's a series of two Sunday messages on Ephesians 5 that deal with the roles of husbands and wives. I mentioned this a week or so ago, that's what I use when I counsel people who are about to be married. I have them listen to that, and then we discuss those roles. We're going to touch on some of those things this week and perhaps next week, but we're not going to go into 2 weeks worth of detail. If you want detail on that, go there. What I can tell you is that these roles, because we're sinners, the things that we do are almost always and diametrically opposed to God's will. Our responses are backwards from what God would have us do. Say, why is that? That's because we're broken because of sin. So when situation A comes up and we should do one, we do two. When situation B comes up and our response should be two, we do one. How do you learn which way you're doing? You think about it and you practice it and you think ahead so that when the next situation arises, you'll do the right thing. And lo and behold, when the next situation arises, it won't be something you've thought about and you'll revert to your responses, and your responses will almost always be wrong. You can go into that and listen to that. It requires us, if we're going to make this thing work, it requires us to have a different way of thinking about these things. Now, let's jump into this today. Rhetorical question. Did you know that men and women were different? Okay. I'm not going to look to see if someone said what, because I don't want to know that. At some point, and they can tell us probably exactly when it is, the doctors and scientists can, at some point in the gestation process, chemicals change the basic human structure, which is female. And those chemicals hit and change some of those babies into male. And because of that, those poor babies are different. Males tend to think that women are different, but actually it's the men who are different. Oh Lord, this is already going over like a lead balloon. From that point on, differences develop sexually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Things begin to change dynamically. Men end up with narrow hips and broad shoulders, and women end up with broad hips and narrow shoulders. Why? Because their jobs are different. Men carry burdens, and women carry babies. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? I don't know if that's good or bad. Girls develop faster physically and mentally than boys. Oh, by the way, how do we measure mentally? We usually measure it by verbal skills. and girls develop that. Boys eventually, excuse me here, boys eventually catch up and sometimes pass, most usually pass physically, but in the process they can be very clumsy as nerves and muscles develop. Comparison, early comparison with boys and girls puts boys at a disadvantage. The more intelligent a boy, the more he will hate the structure of school. The more intelligent a girl, the more she excels within that structure. Why do we put boys and girls in school together? Now, this is one of the I'm back at the center of my spider web again, and this is one of the tracks we could go down, and we may have some opportunity to do that as we talk about children. I've got a whole half-page notes here on children that I'm not going to get into today. I do want to read you just a little section from this book. By the way, I'm going to refer to this book more as the days go on, and perhaps talk about some of it today, but it's called The Church Impotent, or Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity. And we'll talk about it some. I'm trying to squeeze concepts inside of other concepts here to try to get as much of this out as I can. I want to read to you about the author. And he talks about his wife and so on and so forth and how they got married and met. I don't want to go into that. It says, we then had twins, a boy and a girl, who not only had very different personalities, but the girl was extremely feminine and the boy extremely masculine. I'm having trouble talking here today. She at age two was already much more verbal than he was. We would ask Tom what he wanted, and Sarah would serve as his spokeswoman, he says. Tom would like a glass of milk and three cookies. We would ask Tom if that was really what he wanted, and he would either nod his head or burst into tears at his inability to articulate his thoughts. That's the difference between boys and girls. At least that's the difference in this particular group. This is not environment. They were twins, lived in the same home with the same mom and dad. It's genetic. Now, before going on, I think it's probably good that we recognize that there are no perfect males and females. And so everything is a continuum. And so in most of us, there is a blending of characteristics. So as we go through this week and perhaps next week, and we talk about masculine and feminine traits, there's always going to be a blending. However, when we get to the end, to the edges of this thing, and there are exceptions, the exceptions prove the rule. The exceptions do not disprove the rule. They prove the rule because they are exceptional. We as a society and as a culture have forgotten that. Exceptions prove the rule. The reason they stand out is because they are different. They are different from everybody else. We don't make the rules based on the person who stands alone and is different. We deal with them, we adjust, we perhaps accommodate, but we don't change all of the rules. Anyone who's ever been to school and taken tests with someone who is extremely smart, we're glad the teacher didn't raise the standard based upon the person who always got 100. You know, you're down here trying to get a 65 so you can pass, and they're up there and they're done before everybody else. They got 100 and they set the paper down and they're just kind of resting. And you're struggling along, and if the teacher went and said, all right, well, you know, this must be too easy. We're going to change the passing grade to 80. Well, you're just done for. And it works on the other way. It works the other way also. We don't deal with lower common denominators either. So Exceptions prove the rules. Exceptions are exceptional. Folks, if we are really pro-life, then we must be pro who we were made to be. We want to quote Psalm 139 and talk about how we were made and how God knew us before we were formed. And yet when we grow older, we become dissatisfied with who we are and the role society has placed upon us and the role that this book has placed upon us. Where sexual roles are muddled, so is the value of the unborn. Now, this fellowship is different. We have men. For generations, the Church of Jesus Christ has been evolving into a woman's club. The author of the book put a quote in as he was trying to make the point. He says, there is no church music for basso profundo written by Americans. One of the reasons we have gone away from singing a lot of the choruses, I don't have all this in my notes. I have to be careful here. I don't get off target. Don't become too offensive. If I'm going to be offensive, I need to be purposeful with it. I will tell you this, that most Christian music and most Christian literature, if you want to call it that, is purchased by women. If women stop buying this stuff, the bookstores and the publishing houses in many instances would close. I get catalogs from the Christian book distributor and sort through all of the books that are in there, and then the gifts and the decorating items, okay? And I do find pages of Bibles, and we got an account with them. They know my name. Oh, it's him again. You know, so I'm buying stuff all the time. But I'm not buying decorator items. I'm not buying Bibles, or I'm not buying gifts for the most part. I'm not buying books with a picture of a young lady in Amish dress with a bun on her head on the front. Some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. They would go out of business if those things stopped being sold. They do not stay in business because people are buying Bibles and theology sets. All right. Let me give you a main point here. And as we move through this, we talk about this. Some of this is going to come back up. So kind of help me get through this. It wasn't us. I don't know who it was. I think it was some of the kids or something. Years ago when Lord of the Rings came out. You know, and they came out like every couple years, didn't they? There was another one coming out. And they took some friends who weren't familiar with the book to the second movie. And they watched the second movie. And when they got done, they asked them how it was. And they said, I don't know. It just seemed like one great big middle. Because that's what it was. There was no beginning and there was no end. And some of this stuff today may seem like one great big middle, but hang in there. We will get to an ending on it. Men don't like to fight women. Real men don't want to compete with women. And if made to do so, most men will live in frustration and then anger. When it comes to the home, that can happen on a regular basis. Or that does happen on a somewhat regular basis. The brute will use his physical strength. The non-brute withdraws from the fray, either topically or physically. Now, I said enough in that one paragraph for those of you who are married to go for days pondering. Let me say it again. Real men don't want to compete with women. If made to do so, most men will live in frustration and then anger. The brute will use his physical strength to get his way. The non-brute, not necessarily a spiritual man, but perhaps the non-brute withdraws from the fray either topically or physically. In other words, he leaves. Now, I want you to look here in Scripture with me. I'll just read here a few of these verses. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Let me interrupt this here, and again, this is another one of those spider web things. The pop psychology that says that the reason bad things happen is because we don't love ourselves is diametrically opposed to Scripture. Everyone loves themselves. Bad things happen when the world doesn't love us the way we think it should. Another big middle. All right, that's something to ponder. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Now, some of your translations are going to have different words, but the general meaning is going to be the same. There are commands here, and there are three references to she. Verse 22 says, in my translation, submit. Verse 24 says, be subject. And verse 33 says, respect. Some of your Bibles may have reverence there. To him, there are three references. Same word, three times. Love. In verse 25, in verse 28, and in verse 33. How is she to do this? She is to do this like the church, in relation to Jesus the Lord. How is the church supposed to respond to Jesus as Lord? That's how she is to live. That's how she is to respond to her husband. Again, I refer you back to Marriage Dynamics on that page where our sermons are. There's more detail in all of this. How is he to do this? He is to do it. He's to love like the Lord in relation to his bride. She is to honor him courageously, like Sarah did. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. As far as I know, it's a passage of Scripture the feminists have not yet been able to tear down. He is to sacrifice for her like Jesus did, in obedience to Father God who is over him. 1 Corinthians 11 gives I'll refer to it this way. It gives the godly order. By the way, when Jesus told us to pray, he said to pray how? Our Father. God is Father. God is not Mother. God is Father. She is to honor him courageously like Sarah did. 1 Peter 3, I mentioned that. He is to sacrifice for her like Jesus did in obedience to Father God who is over him. 1 Corinthians 11. You might ask, what does all this mean? It means what it says. You do not have to be a genius to know what love means. If you want some definition, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read that. That'll give you an idea, guys, what love is. All right? Again, I've got another part of that web. I've got to be careful I don't go down, at least not today. Submit, be subject to, respect. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what those things mean. Say, well, I don't like that. I don't care. The continuous pressure from our culture for quite a while is designed to make men more like women. Husbands and wives, younger people who are unmarried, you need to be aware that culture is pushing you that way. Wives, if you're not careful, you'll pick up the attitude of the culture and expect your husband to think like you think. If he thinks like you think, then he's no longer a man. If he responds emotionally the way you respond, then he's no longer a man. He is supposed to respond, in most of these instances, differently. Now again, there's mixture of characteristics, and there are certain of these things that are going to be just common sense. So we're dealing with generalities here, but the generalities are what we have to deal with. The exceptions are exceptional. Men should love as women love. Men should think as women think. Men should emote as women emote. None of that happens naturally and normally and correctly in God's order. Maybe you're like me, but I hope you don't talk back to your television or computer. I just saw a newscaster the other day. It was a woman. It doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man. They asked the same question. Well, how does the fact that your house blew away in this tornado make you feel? What did you feel when you saw your house blow away? You know? I yell at him, I don't care. You know, let's talk about what happened. Where did it land? I'm more interested in where it landed than what this poor guy felt like. Why are you bringing that up? Because that's the feminization of culture. Women are going to focus on the feeling. Men are going to focus on the facts. Whew, man, it's quiet in here. Some of you may have heard the story. It's been around for quite a while. A woman reporter asked a fellow who was a military sniper. He says, what did you feel when you pulled that trigger and you knew that you'd killed that man? And the sniper's response was, recoil. And that, folks, sums a lot of this up. It doesn't bring it to its conclusion, but it does illustrate it. It's illustrative of what's going on here. Now, I've got to bring this to a conclusion, and and I apologize. I know it's a great big middle. I can't think of how to get everywhere all at one time and say everything that needs to be said. Men are not aberrations that must be endured if they cannot be reformed. God give us men. One of the reasons Paul said, well, let me rephrase that. One of the reasons Paul gave restrictions on leadership and gave roles based upon sex is because men do not want to compete with women. So if a woman has the job, the man will leave. Say, well, not all men will. I know. Real men will. Amen. Now, all right. A lot of these things that I'm telling you today, and a lot of this error, and a lot of this problem has been widely embraced by modern evangelicals. It's getting ready to split the largest evangelical denomination in the country. Should there be women preachers? And again, we'll talk more about some of these things as we move through here. If you read Timothy and Titus, and you've got a more modern translation, you're going to find Bible translation. You're going to find gender neutral terms. If you've got a more modern study Bible, it may have explanations in there about how there were women deacons in the church, because the word deacon means servant. And I've talked to some of you who've been here long enough to know that there's a lot of confusion about exactly what a deacon does. A deacon serves. And so they read that passage and they said, well, there's deaconesses. And it says when it talks about it, it talks about the women that, you know, how that deacon's wife or women, how they should be. And they don't read the next verse that says the deacon shall be the husband of one wife. Is anybody confused about what that means? A woman shouldn't have a wife. A woman who's a deacon shouldn't have a wife. So we'll go in and we'll tweak the words. So when I mentioned earlier they haven't gotten to 1 Peter chapter 3 yet, they eventually will. They haven't got to that yet, but they're tweaking all these words in these other places, trying to put more and more pressure on men. The feminist movement was a rebellion against the order of God. You know, I could spend a lot of time giving disclaimers here, but I'm not going to. I'm going to assume that we all have common sense and understand that there are certain times and in certain places where, just as Paul said, we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. So I'm not going to give a bunch of disclaimers. If you want to go out of here and say that I'm an extremist on this, you can, but you'll be wrong. I just don't have time to give all those disclaimers. The feminist movement was a rebellion against the order of God. And sin always destroys. And that slope is slippery. And that feminism that started back in the 50s and 60s and even before that in some instances with some aspects of it has now taken us to the place where there are no women. They can't even define what a woman is. And unless, folks, we want our culture, our community, our church, or our family to denigrate and devolve, we need to understand what God's biblical roles are. That men and women are different, that husbands and wives serve different roles. Are they the same in the sight of the Lord? Yes. Did He save them all equally? Yes. Do they have different roles here on this earth? Absolutely. Are they supposed to be the same down here? No. Are they supposed to think the same? No. Are they supposed to act the same? No. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me back up and I'll conclude this because I just want to get done with this, so I'm going to conclude it here. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Heavenly Father, we live in a confused world. But the world's confusion does not keep it from exerting its pressure on us as if it were correct. So we're left in the difficult situation of like a fish swimming up a stream. Everyone is going the other direction and we're trying to go this way. We're trying to obey your word. We're trying to obey those inner promptings from your spirit. And yet the world keeps giving us rationalizations and excuses and reasons. And then sometimes, Lord, forgive us, but sometimes our selfishness and our sin just gets in the way and we don't want to do what your word plainly says to do because it's hard or it requires selflessness. I pray, Lord, in those instances and in all instances, you'll give us grace. I pray you'll help us walk with our heads up, serving you. Not afraid. That's an amazing thing about what you said about Sarah in 1 Peter 3. That she served you and she wasn't afraid because she knew she was serving you. Give us women who are women of God and men who are men of God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to add this. It's another one of the spider web things. If you watched Christian news, there's a huge kerfuffle. Don't ask me to spell that. There's a huge kerfuffle going on from a church where they had a ridiculous men's conference. In past, at this men's conference, they've brought in tanks and drove over cars. Now, I got to agree with you. I mean, I'd watch that. But it's not very spiritual. The devil can't create, he can only imitate. And sin is always a corruption of what is true and right. So in rejection of modern, or excuse me, in rejection of biblical Christianity, the world in some instances has created a false masculinity. And that's represented in those conferences. That's why some of the most popular... Now listen carefully to me. I'm sorry, I'm going down a thing. I said I was going to be done. Apologize. Some of our most popular conservative commentators are muscle-bound guys who barely know Jesus from a popsicle. It's a counterfeit. And you beware taking your spiritual cues from those guys. Please come and sing and get me out of here.